Thank you, Brother Steve. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Working our way across and upside down in the Gospel of John, we started looking at the I Am statements of Jesus, and then we were, a few weeks ago, started back at the beginning in chapter 1, and are working our way through this great Gospel. It's probably one of the most familiar chapters of Scripture to you. You probably have at least one of the verses that we're going to read this morning memorized. If you don't, it's there, verse 16 is a good verse for you to memorize. There was a time, if you said John 3:16, most everybody in the crowd would know what you were referring to. But I'm going to tell you that day is long gone. But even though that day is long gone, can I tell you that still today people need to know the truth of John 3:16 as much as they ever did. And I'm thankful that the truth of the Gospel of John chapter 3 is still true today. And so often the Gospel is so simple that it's hard for us to accept. It just can't be that way, we say. Sometimes it's the simple things that we as human beings make the most difficult. A few years ago, Leslie's taillight went out in her car. So surely this can't be that hard to fix. I'll do it myself. Now, I'm going to tell you I'm not the best fixer-upper, but I asked John T. his advice. And he told me exactly what to do. And so that's what I did. I got the ratchet. I unscrewed a screw, popped the taillight out, couldn't get the bulb out. So it can't be this hard. And I worked and I worked. And I said, Leslie, go get a plastic knife, get a knife, and we'll pry this thing out. And we worked on it and we worked on it. And finally, I called John. I said, John, I've done what you've told me to do. You told me it was simple. All I had to do was pull this thing out, pull the bulb out, plug the new one in, put it back in. It won't come out. And he said, well, I forgot to tell you something. Said, there's a little tab on one of the sides, and you got to push that tab in, and it'll pop out. So I found that little tab, and when I pushed it, guess what happened? It came right out. It was so simple, it was hard. I mean, we, Leslie, two educated folks, trying to get this bulb, and I'm like, John said all you had to do is pull it out and pop the new one in. But hey, now I will tell you this, if you need something broken or, you know, destroyed, you know, if you need something demolished, I can handle that. I can tear stuff up with the best of them. So, amen. So, and then after I tear it up, you can go to John T. and John T. can fix it for you. He's the building man, I'm the destroyer. So it takes both. But anyway, so it's things that are so simple that we make difficult. And the Gospel really is very simple. It's encapsulated in one verse. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that verse is. It's verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would call on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all it takes. But it's too easy. And so we as human beings, we have to add to it. We said there's got to be more to it. And we, as Christian, we like to add stuff to it. We say, well, in your case, yeah, you have to trust, but there are some other things you got to do too. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you believe. And so let's take a look, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 3. It says, there was also a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you've done unless God is with him. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify to what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." What an interesting scene this surely must have been. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader. He was a leader, well-respected in the community and within the household of God. And so he comes to Jesus, interestingly enough, at night when no one else was around, because he didn't, you know, he had his reputation to protect. He didn't want people to get the idea that he was into this Jesus character. But Jesus had already done some significant things and things that made him question. And so he came to Jesus and simply asked him, "Listen, what's up?" He said, "Teacher, we know that no one could do the things that you're doing unless God was with him." And Jesus had just told him at the end of chapter 2, after he changed the water to wine, that he was God. And yet they didn't believe. Now, just because they didn't believe didn't mean it was not the truth, because it was the truth. But the reality, those that, and he says this at the end of the verses that we read, that those that walk in darkness don't want to receive the truth, because that truth is going to shine light on their wrongdoing. And they don't want people to see that. And so the gospel is very clear. The gospel is for everyone. Doesn't say that God so loved a few. What does he say? He said God so loved the world. And I'm thankful that that includes me, and it includes you, and includes every other human being on the face of the earth. And God's offer of salvation is free to anyone, and the way to salvation is the same for everyone. And the way to salvation, Jesus says here in Nicodemus, all you have to do is believe. In other words, it's a matter of faith. It's trusting that God is who he said he is, and that he will do what he says he was going to do. That was a mighty big pill for Nicodemus to swallow. Unfortunately, the Gospel of John, we don't know what happens to Nicodemus. possibility that he could have been one that did put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and became a Christian. We don't know. He could have very well been in that crowd at the end of Jesus' life, being the one that crying out for them to crucify Jesus and release Barabbas. We don't know. But the reality is, he heard and he knew what he needed to do. But what kept, he said, and Jesus said, listen, you have to be born again. In other words, you have to have new life. And that way to new life is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there are some hurdles. And I'm going to say, I think some of the hurdles that were there for Nicodemus are still there in our world today. So we're going to talk about three of them. The first is the hurdle of tradition. Nicodemus was a Jew of Jews. Man, he was there every time there was a festival, every time there was a meeting. He was there. He knew the scriptures upside down, forward, backwards, upside down. He knew it. He observed every law. Man, he observed it to a T. And so he thought, man, I've got things together. And the Jewish tradition of his day said, listen, if you want to be right with God, be like Nicodemus. And Jesus comes and said, no, don't be like Nicodemus. Be like Jesus. And be like his disciples, Andrew and Peter and John and so on. A lot of times people can't come to Jesus simply because of their tradition. Simply because they say, well, it can't be just that easy. Maybe it's believing plus being baptized. Now, there's some churches that say if you're not dunked in water, you ain't really saved. Well, now we believe that you should be baptized, but that's not what saves you. Baptism is an outward sign of something inside that's taking place. And there's some say, well, you're not really saved. If you don't have speaking tongues or you don't do certain things, then you're not really saved. That's not what the Bible says either. Jesus said if you want to be saved, what you have to do is believe. Well, the Jews thought that they had to be good, that they had to do things in order to be right with God. I mean, I tell you that we as human beings, we like to have that kind of in our thought too. Say, well, it can't be just a matter of me trusting Jesus and coming to him and admitting that I'm a sinner and receiving his grace. That is what God says it takes. But no, it can't be that simple. And maybe you have too, had people say, listen, I know I've almost become a Christian, but listen, I've got to clean myself up first. And the reality is, if you wait to get yourself clean before you come to Jesus, you're never coming to Jesus. Because you can't do it by yourself. It's not Jesus plus, plus, plus. It's just simply Jesus. But then, so there's this hurdle of tradition. There's this hurdle of what we know. And just, he talks about people that were wandering around in darkness. They were comfortable in darkness. It was familiar to them. They knew what it was. Now, if you're in a familiar place and you know where things are, you can stumble your way around and get through even in the dark, can't you? And you get pretty good and comfortable with that. But Jesus said, this is the condemnation. That the light came into the world, but the world wouldn't receive that light because they'd rather be in darkness. They preferred the darkness. We're going to see as we walk through the Gospel of John There's no question Jesus was who he said he was. Because it is, as Nicodemus said, nobody could do the things Jesus was doing unless he was God. There'd be no question about that. Nobody can die and then come back to life unless God does it. That violates the natural law, doesn't it? Natural law says things that are dead stay dead. But thing is, God is the God of the natural law, and he can work around it and make exceptions to it. And so sometimes we have to overcome and jump over the hurdle of tradition. But here's another one. I think sometimes it's the hurdle of control. Nicodemus was a powerful man. He was powerful in the community, and he was powerful in the synagogue. He liked having that power. And there's something about us as human beings, we like to be in control. That's why we like Burger King so good, because we can have it our way when you go there. You want your Whopper with extra mayonnaise? They'll put it on there for you. You want it with cheese? They'll put that cheese on there for you. Say, hey, I don't want tomatoes. They'll take those tomatoes right off. They'll even say, hey, listen, I don't want that bun because I'm on that Looney Tune carb-free diet. I want you to wrap that burger in lettuce. They'll even do that for you. But here's the thing, and we rather, as human beings, we rather like our way. And so Burger King's slogan from many years, you know, appeals to us. Because we like things our way. Why? Because we like control. We like to be in charge. We like things to be under our domain. And we, if we're not careful, get the idea that we are puppet masters and God is our little puppet, you know, our little puppet that we work on string. And that's how we treat him anyway. We say, God, this is what we're going to do. Bless it. That's the wrong prayer to pray. The prayer we need to pray is, Lord, show us what your will is. We have to understand, and Jesus is making this point, it's not about your traditions. It's not about what your stature is or the good things that you've done. It's about who's in charge of your life. And this is the hardest thing, because, listen, be a Christian, it's the recipe is easy. But it is difficult to give somebody control. Most of us don't like riding in cars with other people driving. We like it much better when we're driving, don't we? Why? Why is that? Because we're in control. Now, it is especially, we were on vacation, we went to the mountains. We have a nephew that just got his driver's license. In the mountains, by the way, now. I get nervous enough when Lester's driving. But he did what every teenager does, said, Uncle Aaron, can I drive for a little bit? So I had a decision. And you know what I did? I gave him the key. I said, all right, Avery, you drive. And it was only a mile or two, so it wasn't that far, and it was not crowded roads. But anyway, he did fine. He's a very good driver. But boy, that's challenging to let somebody else have control. But here's the thing. That was just a few minutes. But what Jesus says is if you're going to become a Christian, if you're going to be born again, that means that you have to give Jesus Christ control of your life forever. Not just for a few miles down the road, but forever. But here's the thing we don't understand. That's the best decision you can ever make. is giving control over to somebody that can control it better than you can. But boy, it's hard for us to admit that we're not the best ones to control things. And I tell you, that's what most problems in churches, why there's church splits. It's not doctrinal issues most of the time. Now, sometimes it is. You know what it is most of the time? This right here, control. I want my way, and if you don't want to do it my way, I'm going to take my toys and I'm going somewhere else. That's why you have First Baptist Church on one corner and Second Baptist Church across the street. It's about control. And I tell you that that is a hurdle that we all have to battle. It is a hurdle that keeps people from coming to Jesus. They say, I just can't let somebody else have control. But the reality is, and the thing we have to realize, if when you're in control, you're a hot mess. Things are not good. Though you think they're good, they are not. But when you turn them over to the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus, and you give him control, and he's calling the shots, and he's guiding the ship, guess what happens? Yeah, sometimes there are still storms that come into your life, but they're not as often, and they're not as severe. And boy, you're a lot less stressed because the world's not on your shoulders. It's on God's shoulders. And guess what? He's the one that can handle that. You can't handle that, but he can. Why? Because he made it. Jesus tells a parable. A man comes and he says to Jesus pretty much the question that Nicodemus comes and asks, Lord, what do I have to do to have eternal life? He says, I've done, you know, I follow all the rules, I've gone, do all the rituals. And you remember Jesus says to him, he said, one thing you lack. He said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The scripture says that man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He loved his possessions more than he did Jesus. And he wasn't willing to surrender control of it. Now, Jesus is not telling us and giving us that parable that in order to be a Christian, we have to become a communist or sell everything that we have and give it to everybody else. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is if stuff is more important to us than God, then stuff is our God. It is not bad for us to have stuff, but it is very bad for stuff to have you. So there's the hurdle of control. And then lastly, there's the hurdle of change. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. He said, listen, you have to be born of water, which is physical birth. But then he says you have to have a spiritual birth as well. And the way to that spiritual birth is trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's hard. Listen, at least in the darkness we know what's there. And we know it's dark. And we're comfortable with that. But when we have to change, it's a little frightening. And just think, for the Jews, not just Nicodemus, but any Jew that was a practicing Jew in Jesus' day, to become a Christian, it was a paradigm shift for them. Their world totally did a 180. The things that they were used to doing, they didn't do it. They did something different. And that was difficult for them. Here's the reality that Jesus will take you just as you are. You do not have to clean yourself up. You don't have to buy your way. You don't have to earn your way. You just simply have to come by faith. Jesus will take you, however broken, however torn, however wrecked you are, Jesus will take you. But here's the thing we better understand. He will not leave us like He found us. He will change us. And I think this is probably the biggest reason people don't want to get saved. Is they don't want to change. They rather like their sin. And they think their sin is going pretty well for them. But the reality is, it's killing them. It's kind of like the frog that's in the pot of water. It's slowly heating up. That before the frog realizes it, he's a boiled frog. And he's dead. Because by the time he realizes that water is heating up and boiling, it's too late for him to do anything about it. So understand, Jesus will take you just as you are. But when He finds you, He's going to change you. And some people know that, and they don't want it. Because they think what they have is worthwhile. And they think it's good. And they don't want to hear the truth that, no, it's not good for you. They don't want to hear the truth. Listen, that's rotten. You're eating rotted fruit. Get rid of it. Here's a good apple. Now I like this one. I know this one. So these hurdles we have to overcome. How can we overcome? We can overcome them. It takes the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that no one can come to God unless the Spirit draws him. So it takes God drawing, but then it takes our cooperation. God can do all the drawing and the ooh, you know, come to me, the calling to us. But then we have to answer. We have to respond. And it does take faith, and it is scary. And so can I tell you that the world needs loving Christians who themselves have been changed by God to be able to come around side of them and say, listen, we know it's scary. We know it's a change, but we'll help you through it. By the way, that's what being the family of God is all about. God so loved the world. Can I tell you that God wants everybody to know Him, and He offers everybody the opportunity to experience new life and eternal life. And the recipe is the same for everyone. It's faith. Paul tells us in the book of Romans, the recipe has always been faith. It was Abraham's faith way back in the Old Testament that made Abraham righteous. Certainly, you read Abraham's story in the book of Genesis, you say a lot of things about Abraham. And there are a lot of adjectives you can use to describe him. Righteous is not one of them. Now, he did some good things. But there are a whole lot more bad recorded about Abraham than there is good. And yet Paul says that God saw Abraham's faith and He accounted that for righteousness. And you see, the recipe is still the same. It takes faith. That's what God's looking for. Not perfection. Not having it all put together. But simply faith. And when we have faith, we surrender. We say, you know what, all right, yeah, it's not my traditions and it's not what I want, but it's what God's Word says. No, right, I don't have to have control. I can let Jesus take the wheel. And it'll be okay. Remember their old bumper sticker you see every so often, God is my co-pilot. That's all I know. Say, if God's your co-pilot, you better switch seats. And I thought that was pretty good, and that's still true. If He's your co-pilot, you need to switch seats, brother. He needs to be the pilot. He needs to be in the captain's chair. And if He's not, you're headed for trouble. And you have to be willing to change. I understand that, yes, God will take you just as you are, but he will not leave you where he found you, and he will not leave you like he found you. He will change you into something much better, something beautiful, and something good, something you were created for. You see, we were not created to walk in darkness. Every human being, me and you included, were created by God to walk in light. The reality of John 3:17 is still true. That men love darkness more than they like light. And God calls us as his children to go and be light in a dark world. Because here's the thing. Darkness can never, ever overtake light. Can't happen. But light always overcomes and cancels out darkness. Because where there's even an ember of light, there's not darkness. Now, there can be dimness, but not darkness. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love. And Lord, we pray if there's one here today or watching on the internet that's never trusted in you, they've never begun this new life, or maybe there's some of these hurdles that we talked about this morning, Lord, they're keeping them from trusting in you. Would you help them today to just simply surrender to you, to simply believe, to have faith? That's all that you require. And you take care of the rest. When we take that first step of faith, you meet us the rest of the way. You bridge the rest of that gap. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us. And, Lord, help those that need to make that decision to make that decision. And then, Lord, help those of us that have made that decision to surround believers, and that we would encourage one another, especially new believers, that they would learn to not walk in darkness, but walk as children of light. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this hymn of response. If God's spoken to you and there's a decision you need to make.